You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
On March 17th, 2013, I launched the website ordainedwomen.org to advocate for gender equality and ordination of Mormon women to the priesthood. On the site, we state our position that Mormon women should be ordained to the priesthood, and each individual person puts up a profile about their life and how they're Mormon and what it means to them, and also their feelings about female ordination. One thing I think is important for people to understand about the Mormon Church is that all men are ordained and no women are ordained. So if this changed were to occur, if Thomas S. Monson, the prophet of the Mormon Church, said that women were to be ordained, it wouldn't just affect a small handful of people. It would affect 7 million plus women and girls worldwide.
That's Kate Kelly. She's a Mormon activist, obviously, from her words there, an advocate of the ordination of women for Mormons, her organization, Ordain Women. She's recently been, well, at least in the terms put in the press, excommunicated by her local Mormon stake, and she will appeal it, but she doesn't expect anything to happen. Is she right that if the current prophet in the LDS Church, Monson, decided or heard from God, so to speak, that women ought to be ordained, that women would be ordained in the Mormon Church as priests? Joining us to talk about this issue and the excommunication of this Mormon activist in the LDS Church, Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Answering Mormons' Questions and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you, Todd.
I'm a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have an historic position against the ordination of women to the pastoral office. We believe that the Bible does not permit it to happen. And that belief and that practice isn't going to change because the Bible isn't going to change.
Correct.
But from a Mormon perspective, we heard there from Kate Kelly saying, look, if Prophet Monson said it was okay, it would be okay. Is it conceivable that, at least according to their claim, a further revelation could be given the prophet to permit the ordination of women in the Mormon Church?
Well, you could say just about anything could happen, because before the Mormon Church rescinded its doctrine of plural marriage, Mormon leaders were saying that that would never happen. But of course it did, due to the pressure that was put upon the Mormon Church by the federal government to abandon that practice. Whether or not they're going to change on this issue, of course, remains to be seen. But she is right. The Mormon prophet is the spokesman for the whole church. He is the one that has the keys to speak for God for the entire church. So if Monson was to come up with a revelation, I would have to say that because of his position, those under his authority, and that would include his two counselors and the Quorum of the Twelve, or the 12 Apostles, would probably go along with it, and because of his very position in the church. Now, whether that happens, that's a whole other issue, but I think she's right when it comes to the order of authority in the Mormon Church.
Well, let's talk about the issue of her excommunication. How common is that in the LDS Church?
That's a great question, because the Mormon Church normally doesn't put out numbers like that, but I was reading on one Mormon intellectual blog site, and the estimate that was thrown out there was between 10 and 20,000. Now, that's a pretty widespread, and I don't know where this individual got that number. But you have to understand that excommunication can be for quite a number of things. It could be because the person is not behaving properly. Let's say that they were caught in an adulterous act, or they were violating the word of wisdom and drunkenness and things like that, or guilty of a crime. Or as in many cases that we hear out in Utah, cases of pedophilia and things like that, those kind of charges probably get the most press. But there's going to be a lot of people who are excommunicated from the Mormon Church, not so much for being out of line with their behavior, but because they no longer believe the tenets of Mormonism. And if they allow their thoughts to become public, they could very well be called upon to give an account for that, and they could be disciplined with either disfellowship, which is not quite as bad as excommunication, but either one could happen depending on the situation.
What does it mean to be, I know what it would mean from a Christian perspective, to be excommunicated. That is to essentially say, look, as far as we can tell by your public behavior or profession, you are not a Christian, and we earnestly desire your repentance and return in repentance and the forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to be excommunicated as a Mormon, especially since I don't think anybody goes to hell in Mormonism?
Well, you're right. Hell in the old proverbial sense is not a doctrine of Mormonism. They have different degrees of glory, the highest degree being in the celestial kingdom. Within the celestial kingdom is three more levels. If a Mormon hopes to get the best the religion has for its members, you would have to reach that top level known as the Church of the Firstborn. And this is where the perk of becoming a god is granted to that member, the ability to live with his family and to procreate throughout eternity on a world that they will be provided or organized. Lower than that, anything lower than that top level in the celestial kingdom has been called damnation. At least Bruce McConkie gave it that term. He said it was damnation to end up in any lower level. And so what happens in Kate Kelly's case, and it's interesting because I was reading some comments on an article in the Deseret News regarding her case, and she makes the statement that her bishop doesn't believe that she's going to go to heaven. And a lot of Mormons are criticizing that comment, saying that's not true, that's not what the Mormon teaches. Well, if Kate Kelly's context was she's not going to go to the celestial kingdom or the highest level of Mormon heaven, she's absolutely correct. But it could be that these commenters are saying, well, no, she would probably go to a lower heaven. But being excommunicated from the Mormon Church means that you will not be granted a position in the highest level of the Mormon Church unless you repent and come back and go through a process in the Mormon Church to prove yourself worthy once again.
All right, then let's talk a little bit about her her activism. This seems, you know, you read Mormon activist in a headline.
Yeah,
it does kind of catch your attention because of all the things that Mormons are known for, activism, especially with regard to their own church's teachings, is not one.
Yeah, I've spent many an hour, many hours in front of an abortion clinic, and I don't recall any Mormons standing next to me when I was out there. And so in cases like that, you're probably right. But Kate Kelly was one of those who firmly believes that the leadership should at least seek God's guidance on ordaining women, and she does believe that women should be ordained. And I think what her biggest sin is really is that she embarrassed the Mormon Church. She was calling on others within the Mormon Church who were sympathetic to her position to actually, well, the Mormon Church probably took it as a protest. They were there, and they would stand there as these young men would go into their priesthood meetings, and it was probably kind of intimidating for some of these young kids, 12 years and older, going into these meetings, watching these women looking at them as they went in, because that's what she wanted. She wanted permission to attend this priesthood meeting that is meant only for male members in the Mormon Church. So the fact that she organized this demonstration, if you will, brought embarrassment upon the Mormon Church, and you just don't do that in Mormonism. That's one of the last things you want to do is make the church look bad in the public's eyes because, well, for much of its history, I'm of the opinion that the Mormon Church basically worships at the altar of public opinion, and so they don't like that kind of view being put out there in the general public.
What does she mention that all Mormon men are ordained to the priesthood? What does that actually mean theologically?
Well, in Mormonism, there's They have what's called the priesthood. There is a greater priesthood and a lesser priesthood. The greater priesthood would be what they call the Melchizedek priesthood. And a person in the Mormon church, a male that holds that position, is considered an elder. So all the Mormon missionaries that you see, you know, in your cities, going door to door, or on bicycles, or driving in cars, these are elders. They hold the Melchizedek priesthood. The lesser priesthood is known as the Aaronic priesthood, and that is given to Mormon males 12 years old and older. And that's how it breaks down. Now, for them to try and prove that they can hold the Aaronic priesthood would be difficult for them, because even in Mormon scriptures, you had to be of the family of Aaron to hold the Aaronic priesthood. And of course, most Mormons, I'd say probably 99.9% of them aren't of that family, so they wouldn't even qualify. But then you also have the Melchizedek priesthood. Now, of course, as Christians, we look to the book of Hebrews, where it talks about Jesus being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, there was a person that was named Melchizedek in the book of Genesis, and Abraham gave him tithes. And there's a similarity between this character in the Bible and Jesus. Now, some say it could be even the same one. But we don't find, and this is what's really ironic, Todd, is we don't find anyone in the New Testament specifically being given, and I'm talking about no other human, specifically being given any such Melchizedek priesthood. It's just naturally assumed by members of the Mormon church that Jesus' apostles all had this. In fact, in Mormonism, it's believed that Peter, James, and John actually appeared to Joseph Smith and bestowed upon him this Melchizedek priesthood. But yet, when I ask Mormons, well, what evidence do you have that Peter, James, and John even had this priesthood to bestow upon anybody? They can't point to any Bible verse, because there are no Bible verses that say that. There's not even any verses in the Book of Mormon that support such a notion.
So with only about 15 seconds here, you said you didn't know how likely it is. If this were to catch on and they bow to public opinion, could it happen? Could there be women's ordination in Mormonism? About 15 seconds.
If the leaders of the Mormon church decides that they are going to change their view on that, yes, it could happen, because they do have this doctrine that the newer positions of the church will outweigh all the old positions of the church. It's a doctrine of abrogation. And so, yeah, they do have that authority to do it. Whether they do it or not remains to be seen.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Answering Mormons Questions and Mormonism 101. You'll find links to these books and Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bill, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Apostles Peter and Paul. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.